Hello, everyone, and welcome to the windy city of Chicago at ACC 2025 with my dear, dear friend, Dr. Steve Green. We are welcoming you back to Don't Miss a Beat, hosted by HCP Live. We are so excited after a brief hiatus, and we had much to celebrate as Steve and his wife, Laura, welcomed a new baby into their lives. Congratulations, Steve.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
And we're back into the action. ACC 2025 has brought a number of important, really game-changing clinical trials, and we're here to cover some of the top-line results of two important incretin-based therapeutic clinical trials, that is SOUL and STRIDE. And perhaps we can start with STRIDE, Steve. Very interesting trial, and perhaps one that wasn't on the radar of many of our colleagues across cardiology, diabetes, and nephrology. But what was the basis of STRIDE?
Yeah, so we talk about heart failure a lot on our podcast, and you know, heart failure is a very common complication of diabetes. But really, neck and neck are even more common in terms of cardiovascular complications of people with diabetes is peripheral arterial disease. And you know, we also have the context of now thinking about GLP-1 receptor agonists as a potential therapy for ASCVD. And, you know, we had the SELECT study results that are still top of mind in a non-diabetic population, but people with vascular disease and overweight or obesity, major, major benefits on hard clinical outcomes for these patients. But it's also about functional outcomes, of course. You know, we talk a lot about this in heart failure with quality of life improvement, but from a PAD perspective, these people have substantial morbidity that goes along with their disease. So STRIDE was really asking the question, among patients with type 2 diabetes and symptomatic PAD with intermittent claudication, could we improve functional outcomes with injectable semaglutide versus placebo? And of note, this was the 1 milligram dose titration of semaglutide, not the 2.4 that we've seen in some of other studies.
Yeah, and so in this clinical trial, it was a 52-week clinical trial in which patients were randomized 1-to-1 to semaglutide 1 milligram subcutaneously delivered compared with placebo, with a primary outcome of maximal walking distance. Patients were followed for a variety of other exploratory outcomes, which we'll also review. But take us through some of the highlights for the top line results.
Sure. So the primary endpoint, as you highlight, was improvement on a constant load treadmill test. So the primary investigator, Dr. Mark Wanaki, kind of walked the audience through the constant load treadmill test. But for people that aren't experts in this PAD measure, you know, you used to think about 6-minute walk distance, for example. This is having a patient on a 12% incline walk at 2 miles per hour, and see how the distance they can walk. So that was the primary endpoint. And for this primary endpoint versus placebo, there was a 13% relative increase in the walking distance. And this equated to an absolute difference of a median of 26 meters. So again, Dr. Banaka really put this in the context that this is a very clinically significant by historical standards improvement in median walk distance. And then, you know, that's, of course, terrific that we have a primary endpoint that's positive, but we've almost been spoiled with all of these GLP-1 receptor agonist trials and, of course, before that, the SGLT2 inhibitor trials, that they seem to really hit a home run on a variety of exploratory endpoints. And I think STRIDE was just another amazing example of this, because not only does it improve function by walking distance, but it improved patient-reported quality of life. It even improved the ankle brachial index. You know, something that I didn't even think was possible to improve. I thought the best we could do was maybe halt its progression. And then also, it improved the exploratory clinical endpoint of a composite of all-cause mortality or major adverse limb events. Kind of reminded me of the STEP-HFpEF series of trials where, you know, we look at these clinical outcomes as exploratory. We're not powered. We're not expected to have a nominal statistical significant result. Yet, again, home run, even with few events, but a nearly 50% relative risk reduction for this these clinical events. So again, really a positive trial across the board here.
Seems almost too good to be true. our listeners are probably very interested about mechanisms.
Yep.
And in this trial, the separation in the improvement in walking distance was very rapid. The average weight loss that was achieved during the course of the trial on this low-dose semaglutide, 1 milligram subcutaneous, was about 3 to 4 kilograms on average, and so modest weight loss. And so my expectation coming into this trial was, well, with larger magnitudes of weight loss, we would expect people to walk longer and improve certain functional measures. But here we're seeing early separation, even before patients are titrated to target dosing of semaglutide, and modest weight loss achieved during the course of the trial. So seems that the degree of weight loss is not explaining the full benefit seen in STRIDE. I think this is in keeping with a number of other trials and reminds me most closely of the FLOW trial, in which the same dose of semaglutide improved a range of endpoints, including mortality and kidney-based endpoints. And so this is pretty fascinating. You mentioned the ABI. So tell me a little bit about what your thoughts about mechanism. How is semaglutide working in this population?
Yeah, I think you definitely lay out all the things that would support a potential direct vascular effect of this therapy, you know, independent of the weight loss. And I think with all these trials, I mean, that's the first thing people are thinking about, especially when you're looking at, you know, quality of life endpoints like in STEP-HF, STEP-HFpEF, or is it just the weight loss? Is it just the weight loss? But again, I think we are now seeing a consistent signal across all the different trials and the different adjacent populations. There's more than just weight loss driving these benefits. I mean, I think ABI is a great example physiologically. Again, it would be great to confirm that in further studies, but again, really suggests there's something direct vascular going on. The early separation of event curve, of early separation of functional curves and whatnot. And then as you mentioned, the investigators actually looked at, was the magnitude of weight loss associated with the magnitude of improvement in the walking distance? And it was a very weak correlation. So again, like we see in SELECT and STEP-HFpEF, there seems to be something direct going on, whether it's with the heart, NT-proBNP reduction, with the vasculature, with atrial brachial index. So again, I strongly think there's something much greater going on than just weight loss driving the benefit.
Well, thanks, Steve. And claudication is such an important symptom for many patients living with peripheral artery disease, and is often the limiting feature for achieving kind of the things they want to in life. And so this is expected to be a major advance for many patients with PAD and surpasses expectations from other therapies that are already in the guidelines that are recommended for alleviating claudication in this really high-risk population. So great study, and I think some of the findings were certainly a surprise to many of us. Let's turn to SOUL.
That's it, yep.
SOUL was perhaps the headline trial for ACC 2025. It was a large placebo-controlled trial in high-risk type 2 diabetes of oral semaglutide,
yeah.
The first cardiovascular outcomes trial for an oral incretin-based compound in a high-risk population like type 2 diabetes. So very, very important trial in terms of how we interpret the landscape of incretin-based therapy. So tell us about the top-line design elements of SOUL.
Sure. So, I mean, well, before we get into that, let's just talk about why we needed this trial too, and like what the background is. Because people are saying, don't we already, you know about outcome improvements with the GLP-1 receptor agonist semaglutide? But the truth is, so where we have been, we have it among people with diabetes, the injectable form is approved for improving cardiovascular outcomes, but the oral form had not been approved for outcomes. And we don't have strong, robust efficacy data on the oral form. We had done the Pioneer 6 trial years ago. It was a primary safety-focused trial. It confirmed the safety of oral GLP-1. But again, it was not specifically thought about for efficacy. There also, in that trial, there was about a 50% reduction in CV mortality. Again, it was a safety-focused trial, but it almost seemed too good to be true. And I think we really needed a larger trial that would give us more precision around oral GLP-1 effects around MACE and CV mortality.
And this Pioneer 6 was a non-inferiority
Correct.
Trial
for safety
with a non-inferiority margin. So it was on the order of 3,000
yep.
patients. So now we are scaling up a trial to a superiority to confirm Correct. That truly oral semaglutide is superior in this population. And now we have about three times the population of 9,000
patients. And a lot longer follow-up too, about 4 years follow-up. So with this trial, SOUL, so this was about 9,600 patients, big global trial, randomized to the oral semaglutide with a titrated dose target of 15 milligrams daily versus placebo. The primary endpoint was the 3-point MACE, very traditional, and they had several confirmatory secondary endpoints focused on a kidney composite endpoint, CV death, and then they had a series of other exploratory endpoints that they looked at. We already knew the top-line results from the press release from a few months ago, and it was a 14% relative risk reduction for that 3-point MACE. And I think what a lot of us are really thinking about, well, what are the secondary exploratory endpoints look like? We just talked about how STRIDE, it kind of hit, you know, a series of these exploratory endpoints downstream. In SOUL, did not hit those exploratory endpoints in a statistical significant way. The point estimates were generally across the board pointing in the right direction, but technically did not hit statistical significance on these exploratory endpoints or the key secondary confirmatory endpoints. But again, 3-point MACE is a very important endpoint. And, you know, safety-wise, it actually surpassed my safety expectations in terms of the GI intolerance and everything. It was, you know, discontinuation rates of 15% versus about 11% between the two groups. So not that much more with the oral GLP-1. So overall, again, if it's a great trial that gives us another confidence in the oral formulation for improving cardiovascular outcomes in type 2 diabetes. But what were your takeaways, Muthu?
Yeah, I mean, I fully agree, especially with that last statement. I think clinically, it offers a new option that clinicians can feel confident of the cardiovascular benefits of this option in offering patients. And this expands the toolkit for management of high-risk type 2 diabetes with incretin-based therapies and includes now both subcutaneous and oral formulations and allows patients to actually engage in conversations about what might be best for them. Many of us had some clinical concerns about perhaps the variability in the oral bioavailability of semaglutide. Furthermore, there are specific use criteria. Patients were required to be upright for 30 minutes without any food or drink before or after use. And that might be challenging and might not be fully adhered to, which might introduce some variability in the actual drug distribution. So ultimately, this to me was a very, very important confirmation for the field. And now this is likely the last or one of the last placebo-controlled trials of an incretin-based therapy in high-risk type 2 diabetes. And this really proved that the estimates are entirely in line between the oral formulation and the preceding subcutaneous formulations. There were 7 to 8 preceding cardiovascular outcomes trials with other formulations of GLP-1 receptor agonists, and the point estimate to the second decimal place was entirely as expected, and about a 14% reduction in major adverse cardiovascular events was again confirmed in an updated meta-analysis, including now the totality of evidence that was also simultaneously published in Diabetes Care. The other major facet that was important in this trial was the background use of SGLT2 inhibitors. As SOUL was the latest iteration of a cardiovascular outcomes trial in this population, it enrolled the greatest number of patients on pre-existing SGLT2 inhibitors. And I was it was really very nice to see that the efficacy and safety of semaglutide was entirely consistent, irrespective of SGLT2 inhibitors. And I think positions these therapies as complementary pillars of care in this high-risk population. And this is likely, as I mentioned, the last or one of the last placebo-controlled experiments in high-risk type 2 diabetes. We are looking forward to the SURPASS-CV outcomes trial, which is an active control trial of tirzepatide against a GLP-1 receptor agonist, dulaglutide. Now, this is in about 13,000 patients with type 2 diabetes and established cardiovascular disease. This trial has fully enrolled, and we're expecting clinical outcomes very soon. So what are your final take-home messages and wrap-up?
So very well said, Mutu. I think we will see those other trials. We're going to figure out, how many Gs is the optimal number of Gs, essentially. Is it just the GLP, the GIP, glucagon, et cetera? So stay tuned for those other trials, as you just mentioned. Again, I think take-home point for me from both STRIDE and SOUL is that, again, it's not just about the weight loss. We didn't mention this yet, but in SOUL, also reductions in inflammation. So again, there is something going on systemically, cardiovascularly with these therapies besides just the weight loss. And here we have, just in my opinion, two other fantastic examples that are going to give our patients new treatment options. So with that, I want to thank you for joining us in Chicago at the ACC for this episode of Don't Miss a Beat. For more episodes, please check us out on hcplive.com, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify. Thanks again.